So here we go. 2 Corinthians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that we will that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Thank you, Father, that you are the God of comfort, that you deliver us from deadly peril, and you will deliver us again. Whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, you have not changed. You are the God who comforts and delivers. And hopefully everybody can say, Amen.
Oh, this morning, I am delighted that Audrey spoke so eloquently last week about the fragrance of Jesus and the anointing oil and the constituents of that anointing oil. So I want to talk today and just follow on from that about really the purpose that we are the fragrance of Christ in action. I want to know how to spray my perfume around and not just exude the perfume because I belong to Jesus, because he's in me. I want to be able to be effective and use that. I've never thought of myself as an evangelist. I don't see myself as one of those people who can stand up there and to preach the gospel. But I know that when I'm with Jesus, that when he's anointed me, that I can't help being his fragrance. I can't help showing something of the characteristics of God. I can't help smelling of God and being attractive in that way. But I want to know that I'm impactful, that that perfume has an impact in people's lives. So just to go through a couple of the bits that Richmond has just read out. The Father is a merciful, compassionate God who always gives us comfort. And that's assuring, isn't it? We get assurance from his word that he's always with us. So when we're in trouble, you know, Psalm 23 says, as I walk through the darkest valley, I know you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they're my comfort. They make me feel safe and they protect me. When I was in China very often, I was facing what felt like impossible situations, big mountains of difficulty and isolation. But a constant reminder to me from God's word was, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And God says that so many different times, doesn't he, during his, through his word. Don't fear, because I'm with you. Never leave you or forsake you. And so I think that even in our darkest moments, we need to take comfort from his word. So he comforts us when we're in trouble, so that we can share that same comfort to others in trouble, which gives purpose and meaning to the reasons, gives a reason for why we go through things sometimes, that there is a purpose, there is a meaning. And I doubt we can see that right in the middle of when we're enduring pain, suffering, trouble. It feels like, this is ridiculous. There is, what's the purpose of this? I can't possibly understand why I'm suffering or why they're suffering this. But for us, because we're in Christ, and when we have experienced suffering and we've had received comfort, we can empathize and share with others. You know, there's that saying, we can walk the journey with people because we've experienced. And that gives us authenticity as well. How many times do we hear people say, oh, she just knew what I'd been through because she'd been through it herself? Or, I want to talk to somebody who knows what I'm talking about. And we can get into that privileged position then of being able to speak the same language as somebody. They just know that you know. But this thing about sharing in the terrible sufferings of Christ is a huge challenge, isn't it? Not only do we receive his comfort, but we also have to share his sufferings. And I think we can't help that. When we're Christians, we are even closer to God than just maybe when we're not Christians. We share because we're in his image and likeness. We're made in his image and likeness. We feel those things. But I feel very challenged when I read words like in Philippians 3:10, I just want to know more. I want to be with him in his sufferings. I want to be one with him in his death. When nobody really wants to suffer, but just imagine that passion to know Jesus so well that you're willing to share in feeling his sufferings, feeling what he feels. So how did Jesus suffer? You know, what is it that Jesus feels and experienced and understood during his life as in his human form? What did he suffer? I'd like you to take a minute now to write in the chat or even in your own notes, just to think about what it is that you think Jesus went through. So I'm going to give you a minute to do that, please. So, like you, I made my own notes as well and can see how people have responded to that. So, yes, Jesus was separated, alienated, very lonely at times, particularly when he felt his friends had left him. That must have been absolutely dreadful. Misunderstood, was hated. You know, he came to do wonderful things, but he just was misunderstood so badly and persecuted. He suffered hardship. He was tortured, horrendously tortured to death, and suffered injustice. And you see a lot of what people have written into the chat there just reflects that. Yeah, betrayed. Okay, so I'm going to hand over to John Webber now, and just to spend the time in worship now as John leads us, reflecting maybe on Jesus' sufferings, reflecting on what he went through and how much that links and resonates with our own experiences as we praise him now. Thank you, John.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, John. Thank you. That was just lovely to stop and pause there and reflect on what we have to be grateful for. And just remembering that all of those things that we've reflected on Jesus' suffering, it was physical suffering, emotional suffering, spiritual suffering. You know, how often have you felt misunderstood, rejected? Have you felt grief, pain, physical pain, loneliness, seeing others hurting? You know, all of those things Jesus experienced, maybe not in the same circumstances as us, but he experienced them. And how was he comforted? Where did he look for comfort? You know, just some examples. In Gethsemane, he took his friends with him to be with him in that terrible spiritual and emotional suffering he was going through before the events of the next day. At the Last Supper, he enjoyed friendship. He enjoyed sharing. He gave them a gift of that the bread and wine to remember him, remember what he gave them. He often took himself off to be solitary with his Father, to receive that comfort, to receive fresh encouragement, to build himself up again. Even on the cross, his friends and family went to him. They followed him. They were with him. They stayed with him. They were there. And I think, you know, as a nurse, I've seen suffering, as anyone does who's worked in any kind of medical or nursing capacity or social work, all of those kind of caring professions. You see so much suffering. And I think that one of the things that struck me over the years is that suffering is lonely. You know, it can be very isolating when you can't share it. When I've been in orphanages over the years, the suffering in children's eyes when they're lying in their cots and they're just looking. You know, that they're lonely. What they want is touch. What they want is love. What they want is somebody to recognize them. And they can't always express that. But they're desperate and you see it in their eyes. When adults are suffering and in pain, you know, as a nurse, you touch them. You hold hands, don't you, with somebody who's just give them a pat. We need that physical as well as that emotional connection. Just the other day, I had a phone call from somebody I've known for reflecting on what does comfort actually do? What happens when we receive comfort? It changes situations, doesn't it? I'm not going to run through everything on the PowerPoint because you can read it afterwards, but I want to just remind you that a word in season or an action brings hope. And basically, that's what people are looking for in these situations, something that changes the feel, something that changes, supports, consoles, just brings fresh hope to a situation. So going back to Audrey's lovely description of the fragrance of the anointing oil, if we accept that we are anointed, and we have this fragrance of Jesus, what is it that can hold us back when others really need that comfort? I suggest to you that mostly it's fear. It's fear of getting it wrong. How many times have you thought, oh, you know, I'll give them a call. I'll just let them know I'm thinking of them. And maybe the moment passes and we don't do it. And then we think, oh, you know, it's too late now. The situation's probably changed. They don't want to hear from me, or we don't know how to connect with them. You know, maybe we've never faced that same situation and we just don't want to put our foot in it. And sometimes we just don't want to feel the pain as well. And that can be a very real decision, a very sensible decision if we're also not in a very good place ourselves. Other people's pain can overwhelm us. But I think, you know, more often than not, it's just a fear of, oh, you know, I don't think I can cope with that. I just want to remind you of love languages. Those of you who've done a marriage course or any kind of marriage course will probably have come across the love languages, but it's a good reminder, really, of the different ways that we express our love and care. We give comfort through different ways. And you know, people receive love differently, but we also give love differently. We give our gift of comfort differently. So all of those things are useful in terms of when we are trying to give love and comfort to people. So again, you can read all of these different things when you, maybe afterwards if you want to look at the PowerPoint. But it's how do we express that love? All those different practical ways, or giving our time, giving our service, maybe a hug, not in these COVID days, unfortunately, but you know, those virtual hugs we're learning to give. And those words of affirmation, how we learn to emphasize, appreciate, encourage. And we won't always hit the spot. We will not always get it right. But that doesn't mean to say that we shouldn't try and we shouldn't be afraid of having a go at connecting with each other, particularly at such difficult times as we're going through in the world at the moment. So just to summarise, we are the fragrance of Christ. We are called to share his sufferings and we're going to receive his comfort. We're assured there's a purpose in our trials, troubles and sufferings. We're assured of his constant presence. But you know, people who don't know Jesus yet don't know there's a purpose in suffering. Spreading his love, in spreading that perfume, we're spreading the gospel message of his love to the world. You know, we are his love in action. So my challenge to you, if you can recognize what that little machine is there, you know when you go into a public toilet place and suddenly you hear tss, tss, and you know that it's this fragrance is just being, I can't stand it personally, but this fragrance just comes out at you. So it's an active sharing of the fragrance to change the perfume, the aroma in that place. So my challenge to you is, are you passive or active? Are you active at the right moments? Do you try and be active? When did you receive comfort and how did you receive it? Maybe think about that in the coming days. Just look back on what made a difference to you during a really difficult time. And when was the last time you gave some comfort and how did you give it? You just think about those things and maybe just reflect on what it is. How can you use the perfume that God has anointed you with? Thank you. Richmond, over to you.
Thank you, Lynn. And we're going to go back.